can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, well, well. Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join us as we dissect the latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Movie Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey. And before I get into the first movie, I just have to give a little bit of, not even background, but just a sort of story. My office where I work is majority male, but there are other females besides me. And I happened to mention to one of my male coworkers that I was excited to see the new Dwayne Johnson movie, Skyscraper. And he and another male coworker just went off on how terrible he is, on how terrible Dwayne Johnson is, on how terrible his films are. And it sort of ended up being this gender, not a gender war, but it was drawn by gender lines where me and the other females were like, but he's so likable. We will agree that, some, you know, not all of his films have been great and none of them is like, you know, Oscar-worthy material, but he's so likable, and he has this great way of just sort of joking about himself, and, you know, and they're just like, no, he's terrible, no, he can't act, and I'm like, look, he kind of is usually playing a version of himself, but I'm good with that, and I was still very excited to see Skyscraper, even though I was a little like, did you have to have him with an amputated leg, just because there are real people with amputated legs, and I'm sure you actually could have got one of them to actually play this character. But beyond that, I was still very excited for Skyscraper, and the guys in my office are wrong, and I will just say that. So the first film today in our sort of disaster-themed episode is Skyscraper. And if you couldn't guess by the name, or if you saw the trailers and still couldn't figure this out, you really should not see this film if you're afraid of heights. Like, I'm generally not, although the skyscraper in this film is 220 stories and there's no way I am up in a building that high, but for the most part I'm not, you know, terrified of heights to the point that it would affect me going up in, you know, non 220 story buildings. But if you have a fear of heights to the point where it would affect you going more than, like, you know, 10 stories up, don't watch this film, because there is a lot of being not on the inside of this really tall building. And there was a family that was sitting next to me as I watched it. And the mother was the one who was actually sitting right next to me. And she and I were both just squirming at times watching some of the things he was doing. We're just like, oh my gosh. So yeah, if you're afraid of heights, do not watch this film. But anyways, in this film, Dwayne Johnson plays Will Sawyer, who, as his characters seem to be, has a, like, ex-military background. He was military, and he was FBI, and he was hostage rescue. And you actually start the film with a hostage rescue situation that doesn't quite go well. And that's how he ends up meeting Nev Campbell's character, Sarah, who will eventually become his wife, because she is a Navy surgeon. Because, of course, she is. Just go with it. The backgrounds of these characters are a little like, that is amazingly convenient for the situation you're about to be in. Of course it is. It's an action film that tends to happen. So anyways, years go by. They're married. They have two kids who are actually twins and I think are not actually related, the kids who play them, but they do look very much alike to the point that I would have totally believed you just actually found a real brother and sister to play this. They are in Hong Kong because Will has, through a friend, gotten this job to investigate the security of this new skyscraper, the Pearl, that's about to open. It actually is kind of technically open. The lower half of the building is retail shops and things like that. And then the upper half of the building is residential. And the upper half has not been opened yet. The only people in the residential area are Will and his family. So he has been looking through the security and trying to see if there are any flaws. And he goes and gives a presentation that everything for the security looks good except for the off-site facility, which is, for some reason, off-site a mile away. I'm not quite sure why you'd have your, you know, a security facility for your building that far away, but whatever. So he needs to go there before he can give his final sort of grade of the system. And so the man who has built the skyscraper gives him a tablet that gives him sort of full access to all the tech systems of the skyscraper, but is tuned to his facial recognition, sort of. Well, it turns out that the man who built the skyscraper has people who want something from him, and they know that Will is going to have this tablet, and so they're trying to get it from him. And in the meantime, there's a team that goes to get the tablet from Will, and then there is another team that starts the fire, which starts all the problems in the actual skyscraper itself, to force the owner of the building to kind of give them what they want. And unfortunately, because Will's family is in the building, they kind of get caught in the crosshairs of this, and he has to find a way to get to them and keep them alive as this fire starts on the 96th floor and starts going up. They, I think, live originally on the 98th floor, and then they have to find a way to get out, but they can't go down because the fire was on all of the 96th floor, so we have to find another way to escape. So I like this film, and again, part of that is I really like Dwayne The Rock Johnson. But also, I think both he and Neve Campbell do a pretty good job playing, you know, these very caring parents who are really, like, my first and foremost priority is just, how the heck do I keep my children? And then once he's in the building, also my respective spouse alive in this really crazy situation. But then it's also that the script does not necessarily give them, it's not a terrible script, but there are some times where I'm like, you're not quite helping the character, and by extension, the actors, but good for them for still managing to kind of make that believable. For example, Neve Campbell's character is accused at one point by the Hong Kong police who are dealing with the situation of being in on it, because they know that, you know, it's not just a fire broke out and we don't know what to do. They know there's something going on behind it, and they do eventually find out who the person is who's, you know, sort of created the situation, and they think Will and Sarah might actually be in on this for some reason, because it is Will's tablet that is allowing them to do this, and since she's his wife, she might be in on it too. She has the background of, she's a Navy surgeon who did 3 tours in Afghanistan and also majored in, like, Asian studies and languages or something in when she was in college, so she speaks Chinese, which is wonderful since they're in Hong Kong. And so I'm just like, yeah, okay, that's uber convenient, but whatever. And then at one point, to prove that she's not actually in on this situation, she demands to be taken to a site where they're going to try and find the bad guys. And I'm just like, what? That, A, I'm missing the logic of that. But B, also, since she and Will at one point end up separated, but they each have a child that they're dealing with, it seems that she goes off to the site without her child, even though it's like, but you're in the middle of this very dangerous situation. You just left your child wherever. Like, I don't have children. But if I did have a child and we had just been in this crazy, you know, fire bursting, I'm not sure we're going to survive the night situation, I don't know that I'd let them out of my sight for, like, definitely a few days. But, like, within an hour, she's just like, take me to the site. And then we don't see her child. So it's not clear where her child is while she's being taken to the site to deal with the bad guys. I'm just like, that's questionable script writers. I get why you wanted her at that scene, but I don't know that she would do that. The other somewhat problem I have with this is the the amputated leg part of Dwayne's character. Beyond the you could have found an actual person with an amputated leg, is that this is an action disaster film, and this is Dwayne The Rock Johnson, so you know he's going to be doing action stuff. And there are some times where he doesn't have the leg on, and I'm just like, you move really well and really speedily without that leg, to the point that I'm not quite sure I buy this. And again, I don't have any amputations, so I don't know, you know, how plausible it is to be able, for example, the first time you see him without the leg, he's in a fight. He's fighting someone who's possibly trying to kill him, and that person takes the leg off of him, and so he has to, you know, sort of hop around on one leg while also fighting this person. And I'm just like, you fight really well on one leg. I'm not quite sure I buy this. The special effects are done well enough that even though I know Dwayne Johnson has two legs, I can actually believe it as the character that he doesn't. But the fighting part throws me off, because I'm just like, would you really be that, like, quick and speedy and able to get back up when you've been, like, you know, thrown in a fight on one leg? I don't know, but I'm having a hard time believing it. And then there's a later scene where he doesn't have the leg on again for a different reason, and he needs to hurry up and get to something before the doors close. And he is far enough away that even if he had the leg on and was trying to speed walk there, I'm not sure he'd make it. But he doesn't have the leg on and still somehow makes it. And I'm just like, yeah, that is solely movie. That's not real and whatever. I just want to see how you get to the next action scene. So I'll let you have that. And also, I'm in a movie theater, so it's not like I can press pause or anything. But yeah, no, that he would not have made that. Those doors would be closed. He'd be screwed. Don't believe that at all. The two children actors are okay. Not terrible. There is a point where you end up where the son is with Neve Campbell and the daughter is with Dwayne Johnson. And I feel that the daughter actor does not quite live up to what the script is asking her to do. But since, you know, it's mostly 90% of you're literally terrified for your life, I'm going to go off the assumption that the actor's never been in such a situation and she's still, you know, a child. So that would be hard to act for most people. But it's just a little, it didn't draw me out of the film, but it was a little like, okay, let's get back to the adults who have some more experience at this. The bad guy, well, there are a few bad guys, and some of them are kind of obvious. And then the other one, the sort of main one and his background and his connection to things is not obvious. And you actually have to have it explained as to who this person is and why he's doing these things. But the people who are close to the good guys, who he's sort of put in as not spy traitors, I guess, those people are kind of a little obvious in the film. Like, I especially knew one, and I was kind of suspecting the other before it was revealed that, ah, yes, he's actually not who you think he is. So I was like, yeah, okay, that's very typical. The action scenes as a whole, beyond the leg thing, are pretty cool, but also, again, very, very squirmy. There is a scene that basically is a number of the posters, and I think in every trailer, of him running off a crane to jump into a broken window on the skyscraper. And again, past the, would you really be able to run like that with the leg, is more just a, oh my gosh, what? I mean, fine, floor, 96th floor is on fire, so I'm not sure there's any other way to get up there, but really? And you kind of get to the point where, because this is a big name attraction and it's people are very excited for it to open up and it's all on the news, there is wonderfully conveniently news and camera crews at this situation, and they're showing different things when he happens to be on the outside of the building on like a big screen. And so you get this whole crowd outside the building watching this as it's happening, and you get like a camera that can zoom in. And I'm like, on the one hand, yeah, that is such a situation that I could buy, that especially in Hong Kong, people would totally be like, yes, I have to be here and filming this with my own phone. But on the other hand, it's so squirmy that I don't know that I could do that in that audience. I'd be like, I can't. If he falls from, you know, 100 and whatever stories, oh my gosh. Like, how are you people just standing there? And also, not that I think even if you had safety things, anyone could survive falling 100-something stories. But how is there, like, no, let's set up some sort of, if he falls, backup plan, whatever. We just kind of watch and that's it. Like, even with the police, the most you see them doing is, oh, we figured out it's the bad guy and we want to catch the bad guy. But we don't really see any situation of how can we get into the building. We don't even see, and I'm not sure what you could do at 96 floors, we don't even see any attempt for, like, a fire department, because I guess the building's supposed to have its own fire system that would put it out. But since that's obviously not happening, you're just letting all these people be near this building that's on fire and may collapse. And okay, oh, whatever, just go with it. So there are a couple of just go with it moments. They're not terrible. They don't bring me out too much. I like Dwayne Johnson's character. I like Neve Campbell's character. I like their family. I'm rooting for them. I also didn't know what the full reason for this whole situation was, so it wasn't like a it's so obvious, please stop pretending we don't know situation. Solid movie. Not great, but if it came on TV, I'd probably watch it whenever it did. So we're going to take a short break, and then we will be talking about a older classic, if you will, of disaster films. Stay tuned.
Watching TV has changed over time. Streaming has become the new norm. That's why Golden State Media Concepts television podcast dives headfirst to the world of cord cutting. Want to be on the loop of what's hot in Netflix? Or if it's not a preference, what about original shows in Hulu? We've got you covered. Join us as we fill in the blanks and talk about movies to stream and what show you should be binging. This is the Golden State Media Concepts television podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC Movie Podcast. Our second disaster film today is The Poseidon Adventure. Even though when I first knew I was going to be doing Skyscraper for this episode, my first thought was immediately, oh, let's do The Towering Inferno, because tall buildings on fire is a thing for some reason. But unfortunately, I could not get The Towering Inferno. And so I was like, well, The Poseidon Adventure, I also know that's a disaster film. So yeah, I'll do that one instead. First and foremost, this film is from the 70s, and you can tell beyond just even the clothing and hairstyles, some of the action set pieces nowadays just don't look that great, particularly the main one with the ballroom and people falling. I'm just like, yeah, I can tell you're basically just pretending to fall as the camera shot you at an angle. It doesn't look believable. But beyond that, other things, I think, especially because they didn't have computer special effects so much at the time, they had to do it, you know, practical. So for the most part, it's decent. So anyways, The Poseidon Adventure, at the beginning of the film, there's this sort of like title screen that says it's based on a true story, but I don't think it is, because I looked it up afterwards and it's based off of a novel. So I'm not quite sure why it says that, except to make the audience of the time really into the story. I don't know. This is about a ship, the Poseidon, which is on its last voyage, and the owners of the ship are waiting. I cannot remember now, and it's not clear exactly what the final destination of the ship is, because we hear from different passengers. One couple's going to Israel, a different man is going to Africa, the children are going to Paris. So I'm not quite sure. I think the ship yard might be in Cairo. It's just like, okay, so, but where are you actually docking that all these people are going to this different place? It doesn't matter, because if you've, you know, seen at least like the poster, you can kind of tell the ship's not going to get there. But anyways, it's on its last run, and the owners are waiting to essentially dismantle it, and there is a representative of the owner on the ship who wants them to hurry up. And the first, almost the first thing you see is the captain, who is Leslie Nielsen. And since practically the first thing I ever saw Leslie Nielsen in was Airplane, which is, you know, a disaster film, but a funny disaster film. You're not supposed to take it too seriously. And since I really only know him for like comedic roles, when it started, I was like, is this supposed to be serious, or is this going to be like Airplane and it's a comedy disaster? Am I supposed to be taking this film seriously or not? You're acting very seriously, but I'm not sure yet. It's not. He's not actually playing a comic role in this film, but it definitely threw me off when you first saw him. But anyways, he is afraid because the ship is very top heavy and doesn't have enough ballast, and he wants to slow the ship down to take in water so that it'll have enough ballast, but the owner's representative doesn't want to do that because that would take too much time, and he threatens to remove Leslie Nielsen from his role as captain because he, I guess, has the power to do that if Leslie Nielsen does not order full steam ahead. So Leslie Nielsen caves into that and orders full steam ahead. And it is New Year's Eve, so people are in the ballroom celebrating as the New Year comes in. But then there is an underwater earthquake, which sends this huge, huge wave towards the ship. And they try and turn the ship so that it'll take it, the wave, in a less likely to tip over manner. But they don't quite manage it. And because the ship is top heavy, it gets knocked over to the point that it ends up floating upside down in the water, so that the top of the ship and the steam funnels are completely underwater, and everyone who was in the ballroom for New Year's ends up technically on the ballroom ceiling. And that's not where we start. We do get sort of a hinting of the background of the different characters. Ernest Borgnine plays a policeman who married his wife, Linda, who evidently was a prostitute, but he loves her anyways. Gene Hackman is a former, they keep calling him preacher, but he's not an ordained minister anymore. He's being punished for, I guess, going a bit rogue or against the rules or something, and that's why he's being sent to Africa. Susan and Robin are traveling to Paris to see their parents, but it's not clear why they're not with their parents, but they are traveling by themselves. So you get these different people who don't know each other too well, have only really met on the ship. And then when it gets turned over, they have to find a way to work together. And there are, of course, more people than just them on the ship. It's sort of a cruise liner. But there is a man who is the purser for the ship, and he's in the ballroom when it turns over. And he says, "We shouldn't go anywhere. We should stay here. Help is on the way." And Gene Hackman's like, "Help can't be on the way. We're upside down. We're standing on what was the ceiling of this ballroom. All the people who would have been able to help us were on, you know, the top deck or upper decks. They're dead. If we're upside down on this ship, they're dead. We have to go. We can't stay here." But he can only get the very few people to actually agree with him and follow him. And so you only have this small group that's trying to find their way to the bottom, now top of the ship, because at one point near the propellers, the steel of the ship is only an inch thick, and that is the thinnest it'll be anywhere on the ship, and that's their best chance of getting out if they can somehow find a way to, you know, break through that steel and get out to the not underwater part of the ship and hope for a rescue. So then you get them going through various different parts of the ship. They come across one of the workers on the ship, Akers, who thankfully knows his way around. But Robin, the little boy, is evidently very interested in the ship and has been shown around by different people. He's talked to the captain. He's been shown the engine room. He knows where things are. So they have an idea of how to get where they're going. And that's how they even know that they should be going to the engine room, because of Robin and him knowing that the steel is not as thick there. But then surprisingly, and I just was not expecting this, and semi-spoiler alert, not everybody makes it. And I don't know. I mean, you do have that sometimes in disaster films where side characters don't make it, but you can sometimes tell, depending on the disaster film, it's gotten, some of them are a bit formulaic where I'm like, oh, that character is going to die. Oh, I can already tell that character is not going to make it. And I was actually surprised at times in this film with which characters died and which ones didn't. I was just like, whoa, what? I did not know that was coming. Like, especially some of the ways they do die, I was just like, that was a surprise. And are they really dead? Because I'm having a hard time believing this. It's just, what? You're supposed to, I think you're supposed to root for Gene Hackman's character, because he is the one leading this group, trying to save them. He's very much, he wants to save them, to save them all the ones who agreed to come with him. He also wants to save the ones who stayed, but he couldn't get them to agree to come with him, and so he can't stay there with them. He's very much wanting all of them to make it. And this is a very stressful situation. So at first, when he was not, you know, the nicest, and he's not a mean character by any means, but he's sometimes not understanding, particularly towards Ernest Borgnine's Rogo, who is a former policeman and also somewhat willing to take the lead of this group. They butt heads a few times, and something happens where a character dies and he blames Rogo for it, even though he wasn't there to know what happened. And it's just like, yeah, but I get why you're tense, but man, that's just terrible, blaming him for that person's death. What the heck? And then by the end, and I'm not sure if it's just he's done enough, or like if I was in that situation, I'm not sure I would have followed you all the way through. I probably would have at some point, you know, gone off a different way, because at one point they're trying to get somewhere and they can't get there the way they originally thought they could. And they're just kind of going off of his word. He at one point is like, I know where we need to go. I've seen it. And I'm just like, but none of them have seen it. So you could, why did they follow you just because you say you've seen it? Like, you could say anything at this point. Like, they don't know you've seen it, and this is a literal life or death situation. So that's very trusting, I guess. And Poseidon Adventure is somewhat of a classic of disaster films. It's a Irwin Allen film, and he was well known for his disaster films. Excuse me. And you can tell at times that this film must have had an influence on later disaster films. It was actually, there was a sequel made that wasn't considered as good. And then this film was remade in 2004 or 5 or 6, somewhere in the middle of the 2000s there. And that one's evidently really not that good. And I think kind of changes pretty much every character's story, but it's still the same thing of ship upside down. But more than anything else, because I had probably seen that film at least 20 times, this film made me think of Speed 2. We had that on VHS, which is possibly showing my age. And so we watched it. We didn't have the first one for some reason, but we had Speed 2. And so we watched it a number of times. And you can sort of see there's some sort of story influences that the Speed 2 makers were probably thinking of, particularly with Susan, who in this is one of the two children, and clearly sort of fancies Gene Hackman's character. And then you get that in Speed 2 with the teen girl who kind of likes the hero and sort of will follow him wherever, and he kind of needs to save her. And I'm just like, yeah, oh, wait, I've seen this because I've seen Speed 2 20 times. Oh, this, yeah, okay, okay. But other than that, I think it's solid. The special effects, again, from today's perspective, not that great. And the hair and clothing styles, even more so. But it was a good, solid film, especially because, A, it's one of the first, and B, it's not so formulaic to the point that you automatically know who's going to live and who's going to die. The surprises of who survived and who didn't were very interesting. So that's it for this. It was not meant to be, but it somehow ended up disaster-themed episode. Thank you for listening to the GSMC Movie Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.